The name of the message today is praying seven times, praying thrice, praying through to victory. So the short title is praying through to victory. Because that's how victory comes. You pray through. Praying through has the idea that there is such a commitment that you're not going to stop until you see the answer, until you get the victory, until you get through. Okay. And James 5:16-18 says this: confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much, makes much power available, one translation says. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Just like ours. Elijah had all the good, the bad, and the ugly that you and I have. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. Everybody say earnestly. Earnestly. Does anybody know what that word earnestly means? What does earnestly mean? Intense. Okay. And so he prayed, and he received supernatural answers. He prayed. I want to look at this translation, the New Living. It says, Elijah was human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly, no rain fell. Might as well see what the Amplified says. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, with the same physical, mental, and spiritual limitations and shortcomings. And he prayed intensely. Coach, that was the word, intensely. That's the thought that I have today, is that you can't move 100 pounds with a light press. And if the 100 pounds is the difference between people being saved or not saved, you and I mean, if it was a 100-pound boulder, 100 pounds, some of you in this room right now could just pick that 100-pound boulder up and throw it out of the way. People like me. Okay? But some of us, we got to figure out another way. But see, this is what's so great about it. There's not a person in this room you could not figure out, if it meant somebody's life, to figure out how to move a 100-pound boulder. It might exhaust you. You might be every thought of every idea and every muscle used, but you could do it if a person's life depend on it. I want to tell you, it's a matter of intensity. How much do we need it? How much do we want it? And it goes beyond want. It goes into need. Hezekiah said this. He said, you know, in Isaiah 37, he says, the children have come to the place of point of birth, and yet there's no strength left to deliver. Meaning the baby is now down the birth canal, and this baby has to be born, but the mother is out of strength. And so it needs more strength. That person needs more strength to push that baby out so that both mother and baby will live. And that's how important prayer is. So they said, Hezekiah said, go get Isaiah and tell him that we're out of strength over here, and we need his prayer agreement and prayer power. And Isaiah brought it. He brought his A game, and he got a word from God. And it's an amazing miracle. That word that Isaiah brought resulted in an angel killing 186,000 Assyrian troops in a night. Do you think that it was a good idea to add Isaiah to your prayer list? You know, and so Elijah, going back to Elijah, he was a man with a nature just like ours, with the same physical, mental, and spiritual limitations and shortcomings. He wasn't perfect. He wasn't a superstar. He was Elijah the Tishbite. Okay? And it says he prayed intensely for it not to rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and the land produced its crops as usual. You know, I know, Dwayne, we talked about this story, and you have a story where when you were on your first missions trip, you were praying that the weather, these incredible storms, would stop, And there was a rebuke by an elder statesman who had obviously lost his faith somewhere along the line. But I want to tell you that a man, just like you and me, stopped the weather. He was used by God and stopped the weather from the rain from coming and dew. No dew. How long do you think the earth there was going to survive with no rain or dew?
Well, just to follow up with that, God did what I said. I'm the 21-year-old punk that just got enough faith to say, hey, that weather has to submit to my word because I'm Jesus.
Right.
And it did.
And that's the authority and the power that we have, that just like Dwayne and Elijah, same type of nature. Same type of shortcomings, same type of limitations. There's been times where we have prayed in our family in Tornado Alley in Indiana. We were in what was called Tornado Alley. Guys, we lived with thunderstorms. And weather would turn. I can remember we'd be out playing baseball. And all of a sudden, all the oak trees and these big, beautiful trees, their leaves would just turn over. That's what trees do when it's about ready to storm. They literally turn to receive the rains. And the clouds got so dark. And then the thunder would rumble the house. And then these tornadoes would come swooping through. And we dodged the bullet many, many, many times. But we pray. Our family would gather and we'd pray. And our home, the worst we ever had was a limb hit the roof and we had to repair the roof. But there were so many times we were down in that cellar praying and interceding. And we didn't know at the time we could stop weather, but we were praying, God spare us. And we were spared many, many times. Okay. And so Elijah was just like you and me, and he stopped the rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years, 6 months. Now, if you take the Bible literally, that means that one man stopped the rain from falling on earth. Not just in the Middle East. On earth. Everybody say on earth. Then he prayed again and the sky gave rain. And the King James will say, and the heavens gave rain. I like that better. And the land produced its crops as usual. Okay? So this is an amazing set of scriptures. It tells us the power of prayer. Living Bible says that the effectual fervent prayer of righteous men and women make much power available. What makes much power available? Effectual, fervent, earnest, fervent prayer. Fervent has the idea of heat. Okay? And so that effectual, fervent, earnest prayer, it produces power. Okay? And if you're having to move a 100-pound stone or rock to save a life, you're going to need power. Okay? And that's what I'm talking about, that through prayer, as sons of God, we're sons of God. We should be strong as sons of God, sons and daughters of the Most High. We should absolutely not be having a short circuit of power and strength. And yet, Jesus said in Luke 18:1, he said that men ought always to pray. And what's the next word? And not what? Faint. So where there's prayerlessness, what is there going to be? You're going to faint. You're going to become a soup sandwich. Now somebody said, Pastor, what's a soup sandwich? How many of you ever dipped your sandwich in your soup? And you got distracted. And you realized, you know, because the way you have to be super fast with the dip. Just a quick dip. See, watch. Quick dip. Out. You can't leave it in there. And what happens, I mean, it's probably all of us that dip our sandwiches in our soup, we've experienced what a soup sandwich is. You know, the bread just is so soggy and falls right into the soup. Now you got a problem. Now you have to use a spoon. Not good for the sandwich part. And so, you know, prayer, Jesus said, you're going to faint if you stop praying. Prayer will keep you strong. Prayer will keep you strong. And there's no one in this room, you're going to get through the month of March without having the opportunity to quit something because of some circumstance. Life is filled with trouble. Life is filled with it. Filled with it. I wake up and I know almost every day of my life, I've got to face off to something. How many of you live like that? There's something either in my life or your life I'm going to have to get involved with. And that is the facts of life. And I will faint. I will not be able to be a good pastor. I will not be able to even be a good father or a good husband if I give up on prayer. It is the main source of where life from God flows. I could say prayer and the Word, probably twins, in terms of its ability to keep you going. Okay? We see with Elijah later on, he's now wanting to commit suicide. Elijah, this great champion we're going to read about later, Jezebel's got him so afraid and depressed, he's given up. I'm no better than my father. Just take my life. And what happened? God sent an angel to strengthen him with bread from heaven, fed him that bread. God's faithful to us, and He's got ways to get strength to us, but we cannot live with folded arms. You got to open up your arms and cry. Cry out, God. Even if you have to cry something like this, God, I believe, help thou my unbelief. There was a guy that had to pray that prayer. And what do you think God brought him? Help. He helped him, healed his son. And so today I'm talking about prayer that can produce amazing power. Now, I got this story out of Andrew Murray's book on prayer, The Prayer Life. If we could read this, I'll read it, and you guys just follow with me. It's called The Storm Center on the Battlefield. The expression, strategic position. Everybody say strategic position. Used so often in reference to the great strife between the kingdom of heaven and the powers of darkness. When a general chooses the place from which he intends to strike the enemy, he pays most attention to those points which he thinks most important in the fight. Thus, there was on the battlefield of Waterloo a farmhouse which Wellington, that was the English general, and they were fighting, by the way, against the French and Napoleon. Okay, Wellington and Napoleon have been said in the history of warfare. I mean, go back to Caesar days. In the history of warfare, there have not been two greater generals maybe than Wellington and Napoleon, and they met each other at the same time on a battlefield. And it's called the Battlefield of Waterloo, or the Battle of Waterloo. And Wellington, it says, thus there was on the battlefield of Waterloo a farmhouse, which Wellington immediately saw was the key to the situation. He did not spare his troops in his endeavors to hold that point. The victory depended on it. That means Wellington sent everything he had to that farmhouse to secure that farmhouse from falling to Napoleon. So it actually happened. It is the same in the conflict between the believer and the powers of darkness. The inner chamber is the place, the farmhouse, where the decisive victory is obtained. The enemy uses all his power to lead the Christian and above all the minister to neglect prayer. He knows that however admirable the sermon may be, however attractive the service, however faithful the pastoral visitation, none of these things can damage him or his kingdom if prayer is neglected. When the church shuts herself up to the power of the inner chamber, and the soldiers of the Lord have received on their knees power from on high, then the powers of darkness will be shaken and souls will be delivered. In the church, on the mission field, with the minister and his congregation, everything depends on the faithful exercise of the power of prayer. Andrew Murray. And along those same lines about how important it is that we pray, and that the fact that the devil will do everything he can to keep us from this inner chamber of prayer, we have to know that then there's times where probably I've experienced it, I'm sure you have too, a prayerlessness, a season where you're going light on prayer. Whatever you do, you don't want to go light on prayer. The enemy is working to remove us from effectiveness if he can stop our praying. And I love these opportunities to, you know, get a recommitment of the church, to have a time on the calendar where we can say as a church body, we're going to recommit to prayer. There's nobody in this room that by your showing up for prayer will not make a huge difference. You'll make a huge difference. If one can put 1,000, two can put 10,000. Now, the way prayer works, it's the hardest thing that I do is prayer. It's on my spiritual list of things. Prayer is exhausting if you're really going to pray. You're going to give yourself over to prayer. It's not an easy thing, but it's a necessity. Okay, it's something that we have to stir up our strength. Now, remember, Jesus said what about praying in the garden where he prayed thrice. He went and prayed. He fell down at a piece of an area in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he prayed. And it says he did this three times, each time repeating basically the same words. But he was praying through to victory. But he comes back to his inner three. He took all the disciples and Jesus were in the garden, but he took Peter, James, and John aside from the rest and went over to a more secluded place and he began to pray. And he asked, and he said to Peter, James, and John, he said, guys, listen, you know, he said, pray. He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he exhorted him, you got to pray. He said, I know your spirit's up for it, but your flesh will betray you. Your flesh will betray your spirit. Your flesh will turn your life over to the enemy. And it says in the Luke account, in the Matthew and Mark account, it doesn't say why they were sleeping, it says, instead of praying. But the Luke account says they were sleeping for what? There's a reason. Sorrow. Grief. They just got done hearing these words that Jesus is going to get turned over to the Sadducees, or to the high priests and the elders, and have to be tortured and he actually said scourged. Jesus, I'm going to be scourged, and die on a cross, but I'm going to be resurrected. They heard that and they said, what? This is messing up everything. That's not what we thought. They're still thinking Jesus is going to establish a kingdom right now and get the Romans out of their life. But that's not that. Jesus first had to be the lamb that would be slain for the sins of the world. Now what happens is that they slept for sorrow. I just want to take a moment before we get into Elijah in 1 Kings 18. Prayerlessness can be based on the flesh. Every time. Prayerlessness is a condition of the flesh. The flesh has taken over your life. If you're in a state of prayerlessness, your flesh is ruling you. Now, that might sound like a really hard word. I'm sorry, it's the truth. It's the truth with me. It's the truth with you. And you might tell me that you've got a schedule like no one else on planet Earth. And I will say to you that God would never give a person a schedule that would be so hard that they wouldn't have time to pray. Can we just accept that and just don't deflect what I'm saying? Like, you, Pastor, you just don't know how I'm just hanging on by my fingernails. Yeah, and that prayerlessness is going to cause you to faint for sure. That's what it says. So we have to realize the answer is me addressing my prayerlessness. And it doesn't always have to be because I'm out partying late at night. It doesn't mean that I'm given over to one movie after another and now I've watched TV 15 hours in a day and I don't have any energy to pray. It might not be that you're living a very balanced and circumspect life. But if you really believe that you could have everything through prayer and nothing without prayer, do you think you'd let anything stop you from praying? Amy, am I telling the truth? It's that serious. That heaven comes to the earth through prayer. And the Bible promises we can have everything through prayer. But the Bible says that you don't get anything without prayer. You have not. Because you ask not. Is that in the Bible? Now, I'm dealing right now with adults. You guys all have your schedule. You have your families. You have your priorities. I do too. And if we're going to get the kingdom built, every one of us has to address our life with the priorities of the kingdom of God. Now, I know this is rubbing raw right now. I could back off what I'm saying. But if I do that, you might not move yourself into position that you have to be. Prayerlessness. Ask yourself, am I given to prayer or have I given up on prayer? And the answer to it, are you praying? And is fervent part of that prayer? Is earnestness part of that prayer? If you are saying to me today, Pastor, I do pray on my way to work. Are you intently praying with an intensity on your way to work? Are you praying? Guys, we know on the way to work, that's going to be hard to do. You might be a danger out there if you're doing that. Am I speaking the truth, guys? You got to help me today. I'm not one of these preachers that said, come on now, help me. I don't like that kind of stuff. Personally, a lot of my friends preach like that, so be it. I don't want to have to, you know. But today, guys, I want you to help me. I'm telling you the truth. And you have to say, Pastor, you're telling the truth. You're telling the truth. This is why it's so important. You're going to see this story with Elijah is going to just ram this thing home. Okay? And so it says in 1 Corinthians 3, when you could have walked as sons of God, you walked as mere men. Now, this is how you walk as mere men when you don't pray. But when you pray and you know how to pray and you pray in the name of Jesus, the Word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, fervently, earnestly, intensely, heaven comes to the earth. Heaven comes to the earth. It says in Revelations 8 that the angel took a big bowl filled with hot coals and they filled it with the prayers of the saints too, and they took it to the throne of God and they poured out on the altar there this incense and the prayers of the saints, and it went up into the nostrils of God as a sweet smell. And then it says an angel then ran to the altar, took hot coals off the altar, and he threw them back in response to what came up into the nostrils of God. In response, an angel went to the altar of heaven and took hot coals from the altar of heaven and threw them down into the earth. And there was thunders and lightnings and earthquakes and noises in response to what God received. God set it up. He set up this thing called the prayer program. I call it that. But what that is how we learn to rule and reign and take dominion as sons. Remember the four words that we've been covering on the sonship? Besides, a son knows his place, position, power, and purpose. Put those four aside. There's four other words we've been talking about how a son acts. That man or woman is a person of faith, belief, and has godly behavior, and then devotion, worship Jesus, even unto death, and then dominion. A son of God is supposed to take dominion in the earth. The first word over man was, let us create man in our image and let him have dominion. And God's word cannot be broken. He is still looking for a generation of men, new creation men, that will take dominion in the earth. And we do that through prayer. We take dominion through prayer. Now let's go, if we could. Sons of God. Well, that's what I want to walk. Not as mere men. Now let's go to 1 Kings 18. Amazing story. This whole chapter I wish I could preach on today. I'm going to be out of time if I try to do that. And so we're just going to do a part of it. And thank you, Father. So drop down 2. Drop down to verse 38. The whole chapter is pretty phenomenal, guys. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." And Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets." That was 450 prophets of Baal, 400 of Asherah. 850 altogether. "Do not let one of them escape." So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there. Now, if there's ever a time you think that you wouldn't need any more prayer, it'd be right now. I mean, guys, there's been a great victory. This is one of the greatest miracles in the Bible right here. We only read the last one-fourth of the miracle. But this is amazing. When fire came out of heaven and consumed that bull, that sacrifice, and the rocks and the water. Okay? But look what happens now. Verse 41, Elijah then sends King Ahab of Israel, and he says, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." Everybody say, "The sound of abundance of rain." You know what that is? That's called a promise. And that's what we all have. Every one of us in this room, I'm sure, we have a promise. How many of you know you got a promise? Yeah, I mean, I'm not putting words in your mouth, am I? I mean, you feel like you are a possessor of the promises of God. Maybe a unique and specific promise. Okay? So I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Elijah has a promise. Now look what he does. He doesn't just sit there and rely on the promise. It says, so Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. It's a mountain with a plateau, to the top of Mount Carmel. And then he bowed down on the ground, and he put his face between his knees, the prayer position, and said to his servant, which I believe is faith, "Go up now and look toward the sea." Elijah's got a promise. He hears the sound of abundance of rain. But now he's got to pray that promise through to the reality of rain. And he goes to the top of Mount Carmel. Carmel means fruitful field. They say, historically, this valley, this plateau, they liken it to the Garden of Eden. It's so incredible. What do you think it looked like after 3.5 years of no rain or dew? Mount Carmel is 1,500 feet up, looking over, right at the Sea of the Mediterranean Sea. And Mount Carmel, which its name is Fruitful Field, Garden of Eden, Paradise, it's a bunch of dirt right now. I mean, the reality is Mount Carmel needs some rain on it. And you and I might have a Mount Carmel, and you're looking at it, and you might have a promise in your hand, abundance, sound and the abundance of rain. But you're looking at the promise, abundance of rain, and you're looking at what you're standing on, and it's barren. How many of you say that's kind of like where I'm at right now? It is. And so what does Elijah do? He gets on his knees. Because God wants Carmel to be what it's supposed to be. Fruitful field. And look what happens. So he sent his servant, "Go up now and look toward the sea." So he went up and he looked and said, "There is nothing." And this is where a lot of times we quit. Gehazi went into, laid the staff on the dead boy, as Elisha said, and came back and told Elisha, "I did what he said, nothing happened." Even the great Elisha and the great Elijah here, when they raised dead boys, they stretched themselves out repeatedly. Three times Elijah stretched himself out over a dead boy to get that resurrection power in that boy. Twice Elisha stretched himself out over the Shunammite's boy. Twice before resurrection power comes. Resurrection power is in us. We've been raised with Christ. We have newness of life. We have the great Holy Spirit living in us. Each believer, born again believer, a new creation, we are born again of the resurrection. We're actually called sons of the resurrection. We have, Ephesians 1 says, this same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in us who believe. But a lot of times our belief is tested. And God says, you're going to pray it through. You're going to pray thrice. You're going to pray seven times. And here, Elijah, then it says, so he went up and he looked and he said, there is nothing. And seven times Elijah said to his servant, I call the servant faith, go again. Faith in our life is like a servant. Man, God gives to everyone the servant of faith, a measure of faith. It says in Romans 12:3. God has given every one of us a measure of faith. We can believe. Because God wouldn't have said He gave you faith if you couldn't believe. It might only be a measure, but you can make faith grow. The guy said to Jesus in Luke 17:6, increase our faith. And so you see that faith can grow. And faith will grow strong in prayer. And the more faith grows, the more prayer will grow. This faith and prayer, they're like twins. What's that condition? When Siamese. They're Siamese. Faith and prayer. You stop praying, you dropped your faith. Okay? But strong faith will make you strong in prayer. And it says that seven times he said, go. I want to say something about the word seven. Seven does not only mean like exactly seven. It also means complete or finished. So this could mean that you keep your faith going. You keep your faith, you know, strong. You tell yourself you're not going to give up on prayer. You're going to keep praying. You're going to keep praying. What did Jesus say? When the Son of Man returns, will He find faith? He's talking about this incredible widow woman who just wore out the unjust judge. She would not quit. And Jesus said, when I come back, will I find that kind of faith in my people? A faith that won't quit. A faith that won't quit. In your notes, I want to make sure that we read this. On the back page, Luke 18:7-8, story of the widow woman and the unjust judge. Don't you know that God, the true judge, will grant justice to all His chosen ones? Do you believe that? But what's it say? His chosen ones who cry out to Him night and day. How many of you are going to cry out night and day? Don't accept barren ground. You're standing on Carmel. Its very name means fruitful field. If it's barren and you already have the promise in your hand, the abundance of rain or 10,000 other promises in the Word of God, it needs to be prayed through. And it's going to bring that rain that's going to cause Carmel to bloom again. And you're going to be glad you didn't give up on Carmel. And go back to Luke 18. I have it for you right there. It says, how much will God grant justice to all His chosen ones who cry out to Him night and day? He will pour out His Spirit upon them. He will not delay to answer you and give you what you ask for. So when you're praying, that thought should be in your mind. God is not going to delay. We just have to pray a little bit more. A little bit more. Can you just pray a little bit more? But never have a stop. Just be encouraged. He's coming quickly. Cast not away your confidence. It carries a great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. What that's saying is the prayer ministry. You're a priest and a king and a priest. And you have to pray like your elder brother prayed with strong tears. And he says he was heard. God hears your strong praying with tears. Whether you're praying for your children, whether you're praying, listen. Many of you, you've had a thousand times more difficult stuff than me. I just want you to know there's times where I wasn't, you know, the all-star LeBron James. The circumstance came and hit me in the gut so hard. I couldn't, like a first grader, figure out one scripture in the Bible. I can't even move my lips. I'm so stunned and depressed. And I know many of you in this room, you've dealt with much more than what I've had to deal with, what Amy dealt with. But I want to tell you, God's faithful. And I just saw the faithfulness of God begin through others praying for our son, but not quitting. Even when I couldn't really pray effectively, I could cry out, Jesus, Jesus, save my boy. Save my boy. You know, my son has a long way to go, but he's alive and loving God today. And it's because of prayer. Now, we're all holding in our hand the sound of abundance of rain. That's promises. And many of us are standing right now at Mount Carmel where we've not had rain for 3.5 years. But Jesus says, if the widow can get from the unjust judge her miracle, how much more speedily will your heavenly Father answer you? And if you can live with an expectation that I got a Father that loves me and he's going to answer me soon. Now, if I give up, cast not away your confidence. God doesn't want, it says it grieves God if you give up. Okay? So don't give up. Pray and keep praying and keep praying. Get on your knees 7 times. You got 6 of those 7 times. It's failure. 6 of the 7 times, faith comes back and says, nothing, zippo, nada. And your mind begins to play tricks on you. And you, because we are not robots, we are flesh and blood, we have emotion, but we're more than flesh and blood. We're not mere men, we're sons of God. And he gave us the name that's above every name. And he says, if you'll take your stand on your barrenness and bow your knees on the very barrenness, where was he praying? Right on the emptiness, the barrenness, the dirt. He'd pray and then he'd send his faith out. Faith would come back and say, no change. Nope. Not again. 6 times faith came and said no. It could have been 66 times, by the way, because the word 7 means complete. And that means that Elijah prayed till it came. And what did he see? Faith came back and said, there is out there in the Mediterranean a cloud the size of a man's fist, and it's rising. It's rising. And Elijah said, go tell Ahab he'd better get in his chariot and get down that mountain because rain's coming. What a miraculous day Elijah had. A man with the same passions like you and me, the same shortcomings. He takes on 850 prophets of Baal and Asherah at one time and defeats them with fire from heaven. That's pretty amazing. And then he breaks the drought because it says that that little cloud the size of a man's fist turned into dark clouds and heavy rains. And then he girds up his garment he's in and starts running toward Jezreel, which is where he had sent Ahab in his chariot. You go and tell Ahab, get down this mountain. And Ahab in a chariot with probably 4 to 6 horses. He's the king. He's not got one horse chariot. He's got the biggest chariot. And Elijah outruns a chariot over 20 miles to Jezreel. And he beats Ahab to Jezreel. A guy like you and me, by the way. Excuse me if I dream a little bit. Because when I read those stories that a guy like me could have that, sometimes it's real easy for me to put my name in where Elijah is. And you know what? God likes that. I had an older brother that dominated sports in Indiana. Do you not think that I dreamed that I could be like my brother? Little, stubby, short, pudgy little guy. It was those dreams that got me moving to where I began to work out. And after about a year, I found a bone in my body. That helped me. That helped me. So dream. What can God do with you in your prayers? Certainly, stand on your feet. Mount Carmel could bloom again. Father, I ask you right now. I end this with Hebrews 10, 35 and 36 in this message with that verse. And then Matthew 7, 7 and 8 amplified. Keep on asking and it will be given you. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will open to you. For everyone in this room today who keeps on asking receives. And he who keeps on seeking finds. And to him who keeps on knocking, the door will be open. That promise is for those who keep on. That promise, most translations say, ask and you shall receive. It's really not in the Greek. It is truly ask and keep on. It's in a tense that is a continual thing. The woman with the issue of blood, she said to herself, is what most translations say, but in the Greek, she said continually to herself. She kept saying to herself, you got to keep it up. You got to keep pressing. You got to pray thrice. Not once, not twice. Praying thrice, like Jesus, he prayed through to victory. The Elijah, he went down seven times on dirt. Being real easy to get discouraged when you keep getting on your knees on dirt and you're not seeing the answer seven times. And he got the answer. And we could go on. We could keep going on. There's so many stories in the Bible that tell us, do not quit. Neither give up. Keep with it. It's worth it. Oh, it's going to be sweet, guys. It's going to be so sweet when you get your miracle. It's going to be so sweet. It says in Psalms 137, it says the people of God, when they came out of Babylon, that horror of captivity, it says, we were as those who dreamed. It's so good. I must be in a dream. Prayer changes everything. Church family, today, I need your prayers. You need mine. Together, if we pray through, God's going to water Mount Carmel, and it's going to be the Garden of Eden again. It's going to happen. But he says, if you walk as mere men, you're not going to get your miracle. How many of you think you don't want God to work with you like in a homeless shelter? Do you understand what I mean by that? That you're not trusting on somebody to come drop something off at the shelter for you. But you want to be a son of God, a daughter of God, who knows how to wield the weapons of the kingdom and get a river from heaven flowing into the city where we are. What could it be? Guys, we cannot look around at the size of our church. We can't look at that. We can't look. Do you know right now, we might be digging deeper than any other church in San Diego. I'm not saying that for sure at all. But I'm saying that there's a lot of churches that they've got a program that they're stuck to. They're just, guys, we haven't got a program. Do you remember what Andrew Murray said? He said, you might revel in how cool your service is, and how great the pastor's message. That's not going to bring... The devil's not scared about that stuff. He's scared if we turn into prayer warriors. Now, this message might go right over your heads and out the door. I don't think so. And if we do dig deeper today than anybody else in San Diego, then that's the grace of God that's on our life. We can't even take credit for that. And I'm not saying, don't leave here and say that. I said that. You said that. I didn't say that. What I'm saying is the possibility is if all of us in this room decided to champion the kingdom by our prayers, what could God do? The Welsh revival started in a church this size with a 16-year-old girl on Wednesday night and a testimony night. When she stood up to give her testimony was, "I love Jesus Christ with all my heart." Boom. Lightning hit the building. Everybody was pancake till 6 a.m. the next morning. And then like wildfire, that whole nation, 98% heathen, in 2 years, 98% born again, spirit-filled Christians. All because it had been saturated for months by a few men and women of God crying out for heaven to hit Mount Carmel. Wales was dirt, filthy, cussing, drunkards. Filled. The men of Wales were ridiculously pathetic. 2 years later, they're God men bringing the goodness of God to the world. Prayer did that. 40 days of prayer and fasting. Night and day praying. I don't know why the Bible uses night and day. But usually it doesn't say day and night. Normally night and day. Over and over and over, it's night and day. Night and day. Maybe it's some of the best praying happens at night. But night and day. How many of you are going to say, "Pastor, I'm not going to fail. I'm standing on my Mount Carmel and our Mount Carmel. And it's a little bit barren right now. But I'm going to pray with you. 40 days. I'm going to pray with all my faith. And if my faith begins to stumble, God help my unbelief. Help my little faith." How many of you will say that? You want this kind of prayer to bring heaven to earth. Guys, Carrie, 3 years ago, we had incredible prayer meetings. And in one of those prayer meetings that you were in, you can verify this, there was a prophecy that we were going to receive a 700 railroad car full of resources. 700 cars. You have passenger trains, and then you have what's the other kind of trains? Freight. I should know that. My dad was a railroad. Freight train. 700. I used to sit there and count. I don't think I ever saw, I guess one time maybe 1,000. But 700 cars, you're going to be standing there for 15 to 20 minutes as they go by. Filled. One more time, lift your hands with me. By the grace of God, you can do this. I'm not asking you to be mere men. I'm asking you to be sons of God. You have the great Holy Spirit in you. We can do this. We can pray through and get the baby birthed. The garden needs prayer to get finished. It will not get finished on its own out there. We must get those 700 railroad freight cars in here. And that's going to help change the world. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, we consecrate ourselves to this great task. 40 days of prayer and fasting. We will not fail you, King Jesus. We will continue to pray and not faint. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Jesus, empower us right now. Holy Ghost, fill each one of us up. That we would, in this next 40 days, be in the greatest faith period of our lives. All things are possible to him who believes. May we declare every morning, Ah, Lord God, You who have made the heavens and the earth by Your great power and outstretched arm, we declare nothing is too difficult for You. Mount Carmel will bloom again. The rains are coming, church. We have to pray through. We're going to get the rains. Rains of the Spirit. What we've seen in the natural will be nothing to what we see in the spirit realm. An atmospheric river, they said, is just flooding the daylights out of Northern California. What if in the Spirit we've got those same atmospheric rivers above us? Man, great grace upon them all. Great grace. Maximum divine influence. I mean, some of us are struggling with just being nice. Oh, when great grace is on you, you'll be more than just nice. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, Amen. Amen. Okay, guys, we are dismissed. We have food and fellowship out there, but if you need prayer, please come forward.